The Tampa Bay Buccaneers prepare to take on the Minnesota Vikings in Week 14 as both teams fight to gain a playoff spot. We give our final game preview, including bold predictions and game plans, on today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi's a refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi made for football watching. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco underscore Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks underscore Nation. First up for our final episode of the week is the news that Tampa Bay Buccaneers have selected wide receiver Mike Evans as their 2020 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award nominee. Here now is some audio from his meeting with the media on Thursday, where he discussed the honor of being nominated and what it means to him.
Hey, Mike, I'll just begin by saying congratulations on your players nominating you for the Walter Payton Award. You do so much in the community, even more than I think you want to be recognized for. But what does this mean to you, and sort of what has been sort of the motivation or inspiration for you to help the way you have throughout your career?
Oh, it's the utmost honor to be recognized for this prestigious award. I never would have thought that I'd be a candidate or a nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, but it's definitely a blessing, and that's how I viewed my life. You know, I've been very blessed and highly favored, and I just feel like it's my job to help when I can. And, when I was a kid, I'd always tell myself if I ever grew up to have money, I'd help even more people than I do when I didn't have any money. So, God blessed me with this opportunity, and I'm just trying to, pay it forward while I can.
Earlier, you said you never thought that you would be nominated for an award like this. I'm just curious as to why you never thought that would be possible, because I think I speak for just about everybody on here when I say that you have a huge heart. You do so much for other people.
Well, maybe because, first off, when I was a kid, I never thought about winning this award. Mm-hmm. I knew about the award, but I never thought about winning it as a kid. And then as I've been in the league, there's just been so many great candidates. I just didn't think that I was one of them. And I'm not as outspoken as a lot of other players. So that's probably why, earlier in my career, I didn't document what I was doing. And I still don't, because I don't really care about the accolade, but it is a tremendous honor.
Yeah, you spoke about this a little bit earlier, but I wanted to talk in particular about the causes that you support, right? Like you've sent a lot of kids, or you're starting to send kids to college, right? You've made the Christmas for domestic violence survivors. You have you've donated money to funerals. You've coped with, or you've helped families cope with grief, with tragedy. Can you just talk about kind of why you've leaned to those specific areas as far as your work in the community?
Well, a lot of the people that I help, I mean, we're all human beings, first and foremost. Like, I know I'm a professional athlete and I'm a role model and things like that. But, I'm a human being first. And, I've always been this way. Just my bank account has changed. So I'm obviously, more fortunate to help people out. And, I'm somebody that, people look up to. So when I do things, it gets seen now. But, I've always done this. And, I've struggled, in my past. I've struggled. My family has struggled through domestic violence and things like that, tragedy, my father passing at an early age. So just the things that I've been through, I kind of know I can relate a little bit to what people are going through. And I just want to help either way I can, whether that be you know, just time, commitment, or just financially, or any way I can help, I'll try to do that when I can.
Congratulations, Mike. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
All right, so that was Rick Stroud and then Jenna Lane talking to Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans about being the team's nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And James, I mean, again, and Jenna kind of referenced it there, really no surprise as to how Mike Evans approaches this whole thing. If you talk to Mike, if you've been around him for any period of time, a guy who is somewhat notorious only because media people, obviously you love to have interviews with players and you love to talk with them during the offseason when you have a quote-unquote dead period, even though there really is no dead period in the National Football League, but you still, that's a prime time to kind of talk to these guys, see where their head is, see where their future plans lie and all this other stuff. And Mike Evans is known as one of those guys who, you know, as soon as it's time to take the pads off and leave the facility for the last time before the following season kicks off, he's all about family. He's all about what he's doing with his foundation for the community and what he's doing with his off time. And I applaud him for it. I absolutely love it about him. But the problem, I suppose, if you want to call it that, with that is that people don't know about all the things that Mike Evans is doing in and around the community with the platform that he's been provided by being, you know, one of the star players in the NFL. And so really, James, I think it's really kind of just it's on everybody else to kind of help him get the recognition that he deserves, because this award, if Mike Evans were to receive it, not only does he deserve it for one, but he would also it would help his foundation with securing some more funding, doing some of the things that they go out there to do. And to do that, Bucks fans, all you got to do is tweet really anything, but then use the hashtag WPMOY, right? Walter Payton, Man of the Year, WPMOY challenge, and then write Mike Evans's name after that hashtag. And that counts as a vote for Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And if you see a tweet with that hashtag in it and then for Evans, retweet it, that also counts as a vote. That's how Bucks fans can help Mike Evans and his foundation get the recognition they deserve.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of these athletes out there with their causes, and they're very vocal about it. I mean, Chris Godwin is one with his foundation that is out there helping dogs. But you're right. You know, Mike Evans doesn't really push his foundation. It's not out in the spotlight. He doesn't do interviews really to talk about it. But he's out there grinding. He's out there trying to help people, and he does a great job in doing so. And I think, you know, he wants to help, but doesn't want kind of the attention that goes with helping. Maybe, you know, would be my speculation that, you know, he wants to quietly help people. He doesn't want it out in everyone's face, which, you know, that lines up with exactly who Mike is as a person. He's like, yeah, I will go out of my way to help you, but I don't need the recognition to do it. I'm just going to do something great for my community. But with that, David, we are going to have to get into a break. Injury updates on the other side of these quick messages, followed by our game plans for a Buccaneers victory in week 14 coming up in segment two.
All right, guys, back now here to end the week on the Locked On Bucks podcast. Coming up on Monday, James and I are going to be joined by our fellow Bucks Nation writer, Bailey Adams, as he helps us recap what goes down between the Buccaneers and the Vikings here in week 14. But before we can recap that game, of course, we have to preview it, right? That's what we're here to do. And with that, let's take a quick look, James, at the most recent injury reports that came out on Thursday.
Yeah, we did see Mike Evans miss Thursday after he was being limited on Wednesday due to a hamstring issue. Jamel Dean did not participate for the second straight day because of a groin issue. So he clears concussion protocol. Now he's got a groin injury. But Chris Godwin was back to full participation after getting the pins removed from his finger. Gronk and Levante both missed on Thursday, but neither was injury related, so nothing to worry about on that front. For the Vikings, the big news is that Eric Kendricks did not participate Wednesday or Thursday in practice due to a calf issue, which, David, that could be a major blow to the Minnesota Vikings as they're trying to keep their playoff hopes alive.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, Mike Evans missing practice with a hamstring, hampered by a hamstring injury, obviously not what you want to hear. Really not hearing anything definitive coming out of Bucks practices about whether or not everybody thinks that he will or won't play. I'm kind of leaning on the side that he's probably still online to play. It's more of a precautionary thing. If it was a straight up hamstring injury, not like maybe a slight pull or a slight tweak or something like that, as much as, you know, you can't really talk about that way with hamstring injuries. I'm still going to kind of lean on the side that Mike Evans is expected to play until we kind of hear more. Jamel Dean not practicing again with a groin injury. That's really kind of the biggest problematic thing on this list for me, especially when you have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen coming up. Granted, neither of those guys is a Tyreek Hill type of receiver, and Kirk Cousins, not the best deep ball thrower in the world, but we have seen this quarterback take advantage of a Buccaneers defense in the past. Obviously not something that people want to see. Chris Godwin being a full participant, I mean, that just goes back to, you know, when the pins first got removed, the questions were, is it going to hamper his ability to play in week 14? And I went on record, I wrote on Bucs Nation saying that I didn't think it was going to be a problem. He's back at full participation, so obviously that's not going to be a problem. Gronk and Levante missing, but most likely just for rest days. But yeah, Eric Kendricks, man, that's going to kind of come into play when we get to our bowl predictions for me. But Eric Kendricks, for those of you who didn't hear it in the previous episodes this week or did not watch the Vikings game last weekend, in pregame warmups, like literally minutes before kickoff, Eric Kendricks doing a little bit of warm-up, comes up lame, holding his calf, ends up getting pulled from the field, pulled from the game, and then hasn't practiced since. The coaching staff there in Minnesota had said that they had hoped he would be able to practice Thursday. So the fact that he didn't practice at all is a huge problem for the Minnesota Vikings. But now we're going to get into our game plans, defensive and offensive. I'm going to go into the defensive game plan. So I'm going to look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can do defensively to try to stifle this Minnesota Vikings offense.
Coach, when you look at the Vikings, they want to run the ball probably 20, 30, 35 times a game with Dalvin Cook. That's really your strength, is stopping the run. How do you prepare for something like this?
You prepare for it, but at the same time, they have a great passing game. So, you know, they mix it up very well, and you don't get the runs when you think you're going to get them. So we got to be ready at all times for both. And we're preparing to get ourselves better and clean up our mistakes, and then we'll worry about the Vikings on Sunday. But I think when we just come out and play our game and do the things we're supposed to do and not beat ourselves, I think we're fine. So, you know, it's a big game for us. It's a big game for them. So it should be exciting. We look forward to it.
All right, so they're here. There you hear Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive coordinator Todd Bowles talking about playing defense against this Minnesota Vikings offense. And look, I think the conversation and a lot of the coverage probably on your television stations and radio stations about this game going into it are going to circle around running back Dalvin Cook, because he is one of the NFL's top running backs. He's the second leading rusher coming into this week. We have a game going on Thursday night that might help affect some of that, but not really. So at 1,250 yards, he trails Derrick Henry, who is the league's leading rusher right now, by just 67 yards. And that's incredibly impressive. But listen, Dalvin Cook has gained 680 of those yards, James, over a span of four games. In the other seven games that he's played in, he's averaging just around 81 yards per game, which is still not bad, right? But when you talk about second leading rusher in the National Football League, you don't expect an average that's 20 yards under the 100-yard mark per game. And he's been held to 65 yards rushing or less on four different occasions this season. The Vikings have lost three of those four. So stopping Dalvin Cook is really kind of the key here. And even without Vita Vea, the Buccaneers defense has still yet to allow a single rusher to go for more than 60 yards rushing in a single game. And Christian McCaffrey is the guy who's had the most, and they stifled him and contained him and forced Teddy Bridgewater to try to beat them. And he wasn't able to do it. And Kirk Cousins isn't going to be able to do that either. But listen, I've got some numbers to throw out at you here. In the five games that the Buccaneers have lost this season, they've allowed 312.2 yards passing per game. In their seven wins, the same unit has surrendered 250 yards per game. Kirk Cousins, coming into week 14, he's had four straight games of 292 yards or more, and the Minnesota Vikings are 3-1. So stop Dalvin Cook, contain the Vikings pass defense or offense. You don't have to completely shut it down. You don't have to completely sell out. And I know that a lot of people are going to want this Buccaneers defense to come out firing. They're going to come out blitzing. And listen, I'm all about bring four on every snap, bring five on some snaps, probably about 50%, not even 50%, but probably about 40% of the snaps, and then bring six on about 25% of the snaps. Other than that, play smart, play disciplined defense, kind of like what Todd Bowles was talking about in his press conference, just playing within their assignments, playing their opponent, doing what they do well, and they should come out of this game with the W, because it's not about Kirk Cousins taking over the game. It's about you allowing Kirk Cousins to get chunk plays where he normally can't manufacture them. They're going to hurt this Buccaneers defense.
Absolutely. I mean, the key, it's just like going into a game against the Panthers or against the Cowboys or against the Titans. You have to stop the number one guy first. You have to contain Dalvin Cook. Allow the rest of it to come together from there. If you're containing Kirk Cousins, if you're keeping things in front of you with Thielen and with Jefferson, sorry, I lost track of what his name was. you know, you're going to be able to control the tempo of the game, but it all starts with your ability to stop Dalvin Cook, which I have all the faith in the world that the Buccaneers can do, because they've shown it time and time and time again that they can shut down the opposing team's top running back, no matter how big the name is or how big of a season he is having. You know, the Bucs find a way to eliminate that run game and turn their opponent into a one-dimensional offense. So with that, David, we're going to dive into the offensive game plan. And I do believe you have something queued up from Mike Evans regarding the offense. Do you not?
Yes.
Hey, Mike, this Vikings defense, what they probably do best is in around the goal line, in red zone, in goal to go. And obviously that's kind of where you've been at your best this year, where you probably connected best with Tom. Tell me what they do that makes them tougher and what you guys can do to beat that on Sunday.
Well, their coach is a great defensive coach first. And they're a really good defense. This is a really slept on team. They've been in a lot of close games, and you know they fought back into playoff contention. And this is going to be a big game Sunday. They're really good in the red area, like you said. We definitely have to score touchdowns if we want to beat this team. They just try to – they're physical. They don't really make mistakes, and they just make you beat them. So we have to go out Sunday and do that.
And do that they will, as long as they listen to me, David, because I know what I'm talking about. I will lay out the perfect offensive game plan for the Buccaneers to defeat the Vikings. First of all due respect to the Vikings secondary, when you have Mike Evans in goal-to-go situations and you toss it up, Mike Evans is going to win. Chris Godwin, he's going to win. Gronk, he's going to win. That's just kind of how it goes. But it doesn't have to be that way, David. You know why?
Why?
Because the Buccaneers don't need to hyper-target Mike Evans or Chris Godwin or Rob Gronkowski in this game. They have to run the ball with Ronald Jones. Look.
Say it again.
Run the ball with Ronald Jones. The Minnesota Vikings are 19th in the NFL against the run, 27th against the pass. You hear that and you think, wow, they should air it out against this Vikings defense. No. Give the ball to Ronald Jones. The Vikings are allowing 121 rushing yards per game this season. The Buccaneers, they average 96.3. Explain this to me, David. How can the Bucs be ranked 27th in the NFL in rushing, but they have the number four rusher in the NFL? I'll tell you how. They don't give Ronald Jones the ball enough. You want this offense to click, it starts and ends with Ronald Jones. You feed him early. You feed him often. And when it comes to the passing game, number one, you take advantage of the lack of Kendricks in the middle of the field, and Gronk is going to be the guy. You're going to hit Gronk up that seam over and over and over again until the safeties have no choice but to crash down on him. And then guess what happens? You got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown on the outsides, one-on-one, because the safeties are getting destroyed by Rob Gronkowski down the middle of the field. But you have to run the ball, especially against this Vikings defense. You set the tempo, you grind it out, and you pick your spots to take your shots. This has to be a Ronald Jones game, and it will help the Buccaneers defense stay fresh, stay active, because the Bucs can drag out these long offensive drives and they can keep Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen on the sidelines. Run the ball.
Yeah, so I got some numbers. I know you're shocked, but I got some numbers here. So
I know you do.
The Vikings are definitely one of the better red zone defenses. Mike Evans said it himself. They're highly underrated, and he's absolutely correct. But here's the thing, right? Teams have thrown the ball against the Minnesota Vikings 374 times inside the red zone. Inside the Vikings' own 20, NFL teams have thrown the ball against them this year 374 times. That ranks 11th most in the National Football League. All right? They have been run against 288 times, which is eighth most in the National Football League. So I didn't compile all the numbers, but think about this. They've been run against the 8th most times in the red zone, thrown against the 11th most time in the red zone. You know what that means? Teams get in the red zone a lot against the Minnesota Vikings defense. So yes, they're underrated in some aspects, but the where they're not underrated is how many times opponents get into the red zone. They're giving up a lot of yards and they're allowing teams get in the red zone. And listen, James, everybody says you can't win in the NFL by kicking field goals. But guess what? If you kick field goals on 10 drives, you still put up 30 points. You can win some football games putting up 30 points. And this game is one of them. Not saying that I hope they kick 10 field goals. Got it. But here's the thing. Of those passes that teams are throwing against the Vikings, they've given up 9 touchdowns, okay, which, to put it in perspective, is the third most, tied for second most in the National Football League, okay? But they also have 9 interceptions, all right? 8 interceptions, sorry. Read the wrong column. They have 8 interceptions on opposing teams right now in the red zone. The Buccaneers, just make everybody happy, 13 in their own red zone, okay? So that's a pretty good number, right? Listen, running the ball, the Minnesota Vikings, who have been run against the 8th most amount of times in the National Football League, they're also giving up 1,350 yards so far and only 2 touchdowns. Why? Because teams aren't running the ball as much as they're throwing the ball. They have missed 20 tackles this season, which is still near the top 10 in the National Football League. This team is susceptible in the run game, especially in the red zone. Let's look at the pass rush, James. A team that has been thrown on that much in the red zone, you would think would be fairly high in red zone sacks, right? Well, you would be wrong. They are 22nd in red zone sacks, this Vikings defense. Pressures, you want to talk about pressures? We talk about the Buccaneers defense all the time, right? Pressures equal sacks to a certain extent. 25th, the Minnesota Vikings defense is in red zone pressures. So what kind of defense do you think they're running when they're being passed on as much as they are in the red zone? Like, they're literally just sitting back saying, we know you're going to try to throw against us. We've got young cornerbacks, especially we got a rookie on one side. We know you're going to throw against us. So we're going to sit back and we're going to let you run against us. Now, I don't know the dominant formation, right? If they're dropping 3 deep, 4 deep, cover 2, according to Luke Braun, they love running Tampa 2 coverage. So that kind of shows you what they're doing. They're not trying to bring a lot of pressure. They're not getting a lot of pressure in the red zone. So that tells you that they're most likely dropping back. They're sitting in zones, they're sitting in space, they're sitting on routes, daring you to throw it, and they're giving up, or they're intercepting people almost as much as they're giving up touchdown passes. Run the ball in the red zone.
With Ronald Jones. Say it louder for the people in the back.
I'm not going to say it louder because the audio will suck. Listen, that's going to wrap up segment 2 here. That's been our game plans. In segment 3, we're going to move on to bowl predictions, final score predictions, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get set to host the Minnesota Vikings here in week 14. Coming up here on the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wrapping things up here on a Friday edition of the Locked On Bucs podcast. But don't forget that NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. So, David, we are up against the clock, but it is everybody's favorite portion of the show where we give predictions that are thrown back in our faces because of how terribly, terribly wrong you are. So go ahead, and give everyone your bold prediction against the Vikings.
So I've got 2. All right. Well, it's 1, but it's got a caveat. One of them is going to be if Eric Kendricks doesn't play. And then the other is going to be if Eric Kendricks does play, because I asked Luke Braun, the host of the Locked On Vikings podcast, on our Crossover Thursday episode. If you didn't listen to it, please go back and listen to it. Luke drops a lot of intelligent Vikings intel on that episode. I asked him, if Eric Kendricks can't play, what we saw the Jacksonville Jaguars do against the Minnesota Vikings when Eric Kendricks got ruled out was exploit the middle of the field, specifically with tight ends. I said, what that does to a defense, and he knows it as well as I do, that either forces you to basically give up the soft middle and hope that your tackling does enough or that your opponent misses enough passes, which Mike Glennon did, to keep you in the game, or you shrink the box, you bring your safeties into that soft middle to try to clog the pipes a little bit, keep those tight ends from taking over. which then leaves your young cornerbacks, your young secondary susceptible to outside routes, post routes, double moves, all that kind of stuff, right? Because the safety coverage then disappears. So I asked him, I said, listen, we saw Mike Glenn take advantage of Eric Kendricks being gone. What do you think they do against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if Eric Kendricks can't play again? Because you know Tom Brady loves the middle of the field, loves him some Rob Gronkowski, and they're looking better and better every week. He said he thinks the Vikings still keep the safeties back. They still give their young cornerbacks some depth and some coverage and some security, and they just tell those linebackers, look, that's what you get paid for. Go out there and do your job. If Eric Kendricks can't go, James, Rob Gronkowski is going to have a career day. That's my bold prediction. And I want to play a little bit of a game with you. What do you think Rob Gronkowski's career high is in receptions?
In receptions?
Yep.
14.
It's 11.
Ooh.
So my bold prediction is without Eric Kendricks, Rob Gronkowski will get 12 catches. Give me a yards guess.
186.
168.
Oh, it was so close.
So I predict that if Eric Kendricks does not play, Rob Gronkowski will also have 169 yards, which of course he'll love if he does it. Nice. And then touchdowns.
Three.
It is three.
Hey. So
12 catches, 169 yards, and four touchdowns. There's your ghost pepper spice for your bowl prediction. Now, here's a caveat. If Eric Kendricks does play, cut all those in half. And that's what Rob Gronkowski's stat line is going to be. Still bold. Obviously not as bold, but if Eric Kendricks is in there, cut him in half. I still look for Tom Brady to exploit the matchup of Rob Gronkowski over the middle part of that Vikings defense.
Yeah, especially with Kendricks hobbled on one leg. I mean, I'll take 80 yards and two touchdowns out of Gronk any week of the season. And David, that plays perfectly into my bold prediction because I had to include Gronk in mine because I do agree Gronk is going to have a big day. But we talked about it a couple weeks ago. We know what Mike Evans still needs to reach that 1,000-yard plateau. And on Bucs Nation, we did our bye week bold predictions where it was our bold prediction for the remainder of the season. And yours was Mike Evans is going to cross that 1,000-yard mark this season and surpass his idol, Randy Moss. We know what needs to happen for him to get there.
That wasn't the totality of my bold prediction.
Well, that is correct, but that was part of your bold prediction. Do you want to give the rest of it?
I said he'll hit it before week 17.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, so we really know what has to be done there. And then going with my game plan, you got to feed Rojo. So though my Gronk prediction isn't nearly as bold as yours, I am saying that Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, and Ronald Jones all go over 100 yards and get a touchdown. So over 100 for Mike and Rob receiving, over 100 for Rojo rushing, and a touchdown for each. That is my bold prediction.
That is good for my fantasy playoff chances.
I missed the fantasy playoffs because we had four ties in our league this year. And I missed the playoffs by a half a game.
That's insanity. Yeah, I mean, I like the prediction. I hope that it happens, obviously, because I think that leads to a Buccaneers win, which speaking of, it's time for us to give our final score predictions. James, I'll go first. I've got the Buccaneers winning. Look, this whole thing is kind of an unknown, right? We don't know what we saw in the second half against Kansas City Chiefs is what we're going to see more of from the Buccaneers moving forward. Then I think the arrow is pointing up. I think either way, there are too many intelligent football minds in that building to not come out of this thing and at least go 3-1 during this final four-game stretch. I feel like if they go 3-1, one of those losses, as painful as it's going to be, is probably to the Falcons. So I feel like they have to win this game if they want to go 3-1. If they don't, they run the risk of going 2-2. Now you're talking about a 9-7 season, and that certainly is probably not going to get the job done in the NFC right now, even with an extra playoff spot. So I feel like they're going to come out, they're going to do well. Luke Braun himself said the Minnesota Vikings are a different team every time you see them, but all it is chaos. I don't think the Buccaneers are going to let all the chaos get to them as much as the Minnesota Vikings let it get to them, especially against a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars. Typically, we see the Vikings or we see the Bucs opponent play up to playing the Buccaneers, so I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I do think the Buccaneers, rather, come out of the win 29-27.
I do have a little bit more separation than that, but obviously I am going to take the Buccaneers to win this one. I think they are going to come out of the bye week firing on all cylinders, quieting all doubters. They had a rough third quarter of the season. They're going to start the fourth quarter off right. It's playoff time. We know Tom Brady's been in these guys' ears. We know that, you know, they are prepping for playoffs starting now. This is officially playoff time for the Buccaneers, because just one loss could throw everything off the tracks. I will take the Buccaneers to win 31-20. Who that fourth touchdown is going to come from, I don't know.
Rob Gronkowski, the second in the game.
You know what? No. Bonus bold prediction before we get out of here. Antoine Winfield Jr. pick six against his childhood team.
He is the X factor for this weekend, so that would be nice.
Love it. Love it. I love my bold predictions because I'm awesome. With that, David, we are going to get out of here. Don't forget, we are going to be joined by Bailey Adams from BucksNation.com to recap the game. Hopefully, we are all in good spirits and talking about a Buccaneers win. But until then, please check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Send us your post-game voicemail reactions, 813-444-5841. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another, and we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.